Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for October the 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, and yes, we're convinced the checks and balances, absolutely brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great solutions for restoration. You see, we reject revolution, folks. It's usually bloody, violent, doesn't turn out very well. The American Revolution was certainly an anomaly, and thank heavens for it. However, now that the founding fathers sacrificed their blood, their fortunes, their sacred honors on the altar of liberty, we have been given a framework for solutions, that is restoration. Restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, and that is our peaceful quest. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. By the way, hopefully you had a delightful weekend full of God, family, and country, and the protection of life, liberty, and property. I know we did. So with that, we'll start with a quick recap of Friday's broadcast, always worth our while. You got the Sonoma, California fires set by an illegal alien, ladies and gentlemen. The question is, was it on purpose or not? And we're not given that information. It's really rare that they even talk about illegal aliens doing anything wrong, right? Strange, but true. Our prayers are with the folks in the fires. Robert Mueller was head of the FBI during the emerging uranium scandal. What am I talking about? Well, it turns out that Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, and the Russians were all in bed together with a big old uranium scandal. And so there you go. Bottom line, there will be no accountability. I wish there were, but Donald Trump ran around and chanted, lock her up. But now that he has actual authority to get some of that done, we'll see no movement on that metric, sad to say. The sad decline of Thad Cochran, we talked about this congressman. He's been in there forever, literally longer than I've been alive. And this guy, literally, they're saying now, might well have Alzheimer's. Certainly clueless of where he is. Can we have congressmen and senators that are so elderly that they don't have their wits about them, if you will, serving in Congress? Or would there need to be a law against that, huh? I'm not really for regulation, but very strange indeed. We talked about the investigation into Niger heats up. Big old scandal there. Servicemen killed. They claim it was an absolute intelligence fiasco. My response is, why are we there in the first place? Do we need to be really in 130-plus nations militarily? Do we really need to back the military-industrial complex, have warmongering, hawkish generals running around everywhere? Or would we be better off following the ideas of the founders, which was avoid foreign entanglements like the plague? Tie us to constitutional currency, honest weights and measures, or honest money, gold and silver, to prevent these runaway wars funded by fiat fiasco currency. Just wondering, but I'm convinced the founding fathers rode a much safer, more peaceful idea. Now, some would say, Sam, the founders were a bunch of old dudes back in the day. They don't have a clue of modern day. And my response is, oh, how wise they were, if you only knew. All right. I guess there's a big old scandal. IRS. I guess they're going to attack you over your tax returns if you don't have Obamacare subsidies on there, or payments, whatever you want to call it, Obamacare. If you don't have Obamacare, they're going to fine you. Donald said he was going to stand against that, and I commend him for doing so, but now the IRS is going to ignore the Donald. Will Donald hold them accountable and do something? Well, nothing short of the IRS will stop these goons. So understand that reality check, would you please? Taxpayers who submit their 2017 tax returns without disclosing their health insurance coverage will have their paperwork stopped or their refunds won't be filed. Wow. All right, Hartford, Connecticut's in trouble. They're going to default on their debt and declare a big old bankruptcy. But I got a question. What difference will that make? And how often is there accountability on bankruptcies for big towns and cities and governments, huh? Republicans are urged to compromise on Obamacare, waste of time. Listener Kevin chimes in with an incredible comment that I've never thought of before. Spot on. He put this on his Facebook and then emailed it to us as a listener and said, hey, man, you guys might want to follow up on this awesome quote. And boy, do we agree. Listener Kevin says, if your right to an abortion means that I have to pay for it, then you should have to pay for my guns. After all, I have a right to them. Your right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. There you go. All right. Excellent work, Kevin. I guess the plague, not a joke, literally the plague is back. I guess 69 Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints missionaries moved out of Madagascar because the plague is really back infecting people. What a horrible deal. Our prayers are with them. Also, a backyard chicken trend causing spike in infections. I guess their idea is to tell us not to have chickens, huh? All right. You got to get to why on some of these things, folks. Maybe if we obey the commandments of God and learn proper hygiene, things would get better. What do you think? That was Hour 1 of Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour 2, we had our guest on, Mr. Richard Mack, CSPOA, thefreedomcoalition.com. We talked about the Vegas shooting. We talked about his Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Conference over the weekend. We talked about they're coming for our guns. Chuck Baldwin wrote an incredible article. We talked about former Democratic, chairman of the Democratic National Committee or whatever. She wants fake news folks to be fined. Does she really want the IRS and the CIA and the EPA and all these guys in bed with the media? All of them fined, really? I hope that she's right. But I'm telling you right now, what they're going to do is they're going to turn it around, and any story the government tells is real news. Any tale that you and I tell is fake news. Got it? Very tyrannical, to say the least. All right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place just Friday, available on demand at libertyroundtable.com. Donate, get involved today, would you please? Without further ado, news the networks refuse to use starts now, brought to you by Raw Honey, delivered directly to your door. To learn more, get a hold of Kurt. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. And by the way, if you're a member of the Give Me Liberty Fund, givemelibertyfund.com, you'll get big discounts as you deliver honey directly to your door. All right, without further ado, news the networks refuse to use today starts now. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org with us. Welcome back to the broadcast, my friend.
Thanks for having me, gentlemen. Good to be with you.
You are very welcome. Now, as far as I can tell, you went to what's called the Contra Cruise 2017 to the Western Caribbean, right?
We did, Sam, just last week. Spent a delightful week there in the sun of the Western Caribbean on a cruise hosted by Tom Woods and Bob Murphy. Now, for our listeners who haven't heard of them...
Not Eddie Murphy, ladies and gentlemen. Bob Murphy. Now, they had a comedian there, but it wasn't Bob Murphy, right?
That's right. This duo, Tom Woods and Robert Murphy, Bob is Robert for short, of course, they do a weekly podcast called Contra Krugman, where they dissect a New York Times column written by some Keynesian economist named Paul Krugman. In fact, I think this is the same Paul Krugman who won the Nobel Prize for Economics some years ago.
And so the idea of the Contra idea is contradiction, right?
Exactly.
They said that, hey, we got to tell the tale of liberty and contradict this propaganda, this fake news being peddled out there about the economy, right?
Exactly. And then Paul sort of spins a web fake economics, I guess, because he believes in Keynesian economics, which is really...
Well, what you're talking about is asset-based economics based on real money and real value as opposed to debt-based fiasco, always hidden tax inflation, basically fake economy, right?
Precisely, Sam. You and I believe in sound money and honest money, you know, gold, silver, commodity-based or commodity-backed money, money that has intrinsic value, money that is truly honest and truly sound. And of course, Keynesian economists, they believe in what you call the debt-based currencies. In other words, they think you can use money that doesn't have any intrinsic value, has no backing behind it, and people, basically the fiat monetary system that's been imposed upon us today, or the system that we've we've accepted, that's a fiat-based monetary system, a fiat monetary system, because the federal dollars really don't have any intrinsic value. They're just pieces of paper in your wallet.
But not only do they not have intrinsic value, they start out as debt. In other words, you start out underwater as opposed to starting out with some economic value. And so not only is it important to understand that there's not value behind the currency, it's fake. If we're going to talk about fake news, we're going to talk about fake currencies. Anyway, not only is it fake, though, but it starts you out in the wrong direction. Mathematically, it's impossible to ever recover as long as you hold on to that system. We'll talk about that quickly with Lowell. We'll get into the cruise that he went on. A whole lot more details. A politically sound cruise, if you will. We'll do that and more on Liberty Roundtable Live in mere seconds. Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Solon Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, riding shotgun on the broadcast today, talking about an incredible cruise he went on called the Contra Cruise, 2017, to the Western Caribbean. He had the opportunity to be with Tom Woods and others who are well known for their podcasting excellence, if you will. Incredible shows. By the way, we're great friends of those guys and would love to have them be on Liberty News Radio, but they don't do their broadcasts in format that works well for traditional radio. So their podcasts have different lengths and things like that, which, you know, doesn't translate on the radio well. We love those guys. We wish there was a way to work with them closer. Nevertheless, they do a phenomenal job, and Lowell went on that cruise, has a report and details. They had a couple of folks with them, right?
They sure did, Sam. New York comedian Dave Smith, he is the founder and the he founded a podcast called Part of the Problem. And he's a New York comedian, really popular out there in New York. In fact, he's invited to various nightclubs and entertainment places throughout New York, the city of New York, on a pretty regular basis. But he became so popular that he now has a podcast called Part of the Problem, which anybody can find on the internet. And it turns out that he recently released an album, I guess, a podcast album. I'm not quite sure what that is, but I think it was an hour-long program that he did. He named it Libertas, or Libertas, I guess. A lot of people will be saying that, Libertas. But it was number one on iTunes for over 2 weeks, Sam. Number one comedy on iTunes for over 2 weeks. And so apparently he's really, really good. I haven't heard it myself, haven't listened to it. I don't I don't know whether I guess I would like to listen to it, but I think the humor is sometimes a bit crass and the language a bit coarse and occasionally. However, he is reaching a segment of our population who enjoy humor, and then he points out the absurdities in our walk, in the way we live our lives. You know, the absurdities of fake money, of the absurdities of politicians, you know, making whatever decisions they make and doing the things they do, and so forth. And it's those absurdities which provide the humor. And in other words, he slaps people in the face with the absurdity of believing in public education when it's rotten, you know, when it's not doing what it's billed to do, for example, or the absurdity of believing in Obamacare when it doesn't deliver the goods, so to speak, you know, what we were promised, that you could keep your own doctor, that you could keep your own health plan, and, you know, all of the things we were promised, all the lies that we were told. He brings out these absurdities in his humor, and so he is reaching quite a number of people that way and helping them understand that, you know, my game, Sam, is you know, serious talk. Basically, you know, I'm not a comedian, but what I do is I just bring information to people. I think you do much better, Sam, because you make it fun, you make it, and as well as informative, you make it entertaining, right? And that makes it easy for people to listen. And, you know, I don't know that I would be successful at a podcast, but I think you are. I think Dave Smith is, and many others. But anyway, that was just one of the three people, I guess, notable celebrities that that came on the cruise this time. And so, humor has its place. And I don't know if you want to make a comment about that, but we need to make...
I certainly do. There's no doubt humor has its place. And, you know, how to keep humor moral and modest and those kind of things, but yet do humor. Brian Regan does a great job at that. There are several people that do. Some people push the line more than others. There's no doubt they hit a funny spot. A lot of the late night comedians, for example, we've praised in the past, even though they're quite liberal, because they do hit on some of the key issues about insiders in government and things like that. And so we've covered them from time to time. I do believe humor has an important place in our society. And, you know, even some of the religious leaders inject some humor. You got to be careful with it, but it's certainly, you know, rather than leaving the broadcast just feeling down and discouraged and like everything's horrible and nothing's going to get better, you kind of leave going, hey, yeah, we got some troubles, but I got a way forward. I've got some solutions. I've got an idea. You know, be of good cheer is one of the guidance items we get from the Prince of Peace or the Savior Jesus Christ. I think humor is part of being of good cheer. Humor is part of saying, look, sometimes when you want to cry, hey, I laugh and so I don't end up crying. There's a place for it. It has value, and we don't do as much of it on this show as we ought to, but we certainly try.
That's awesome. I appreciate it because I'm a sober guy, and so when I hear good humor, it really tickles my funny bone, and I get a kick out of it, and it just makes me want more. It makes me, you know, it just increases the overall appeal, right, of the show or of the presentation or whatever it is I'm listening to. It just makes it easier to accept, to digest, and it makes it fun, you know, and that's part of why we're here, is to have fun as well as to be informed as well as, you know, being entertained. So so it was a real treat meeting Dave Smith for the first time, and I applaud what he does. I think it's fantastic, and of course this show goes to a national audience, and so there will be, you know, thousands of people, Sam, who listen to Liberty Roundtable who would really love Dave Smith, and I think he does great work. He speaks in the language of funny, he calls it the language of funny. And in doing so, is able to expose many of the lies, many of the contradictions, many of the, you know, fake news stories and so forth that are out there. Now,
one of the things that's fascinating people should know too is there's a, you know, some people just have a way of tickling your funny bone. It's obvious the second they say something, the way they word things or the way they time things. A lot of times it's both. Just strikes your funny bone and it's easy to get. There are guys that are actually quite funny that you don't think are funny at first glance. And that would be, for example, a Kurt Crosby.
Yeah.
See, he'll make comments and say things that if you don't pay attention, you're like, huh, okay. Or, you know, just kind of slide right by you. But if you stop, you go, you know what? That was funny. And so Kurt has a dry sense of humor. that does a lot of that sometimes too. You got to pay attention to them though, because you got to realize when it happens or whatever. It's a dry humor. And so, you know, because there's not a big crowd, there's not too many people to tip you off. Sometimes I'm trying to take notes, and so I laugh, but you don't hear me because I might be muted or whatever. But there's a lot of times where there's some dry humor that's quite funny on the program, too. And it takes a little bit of listening to Kurt. You know, you can't just be a novice. It takes a little bit of understanding and listening, and after a while, you're like, you know what? That's great. I like that. There's value here. And so sometimes, I don't know if I'm allowed to call Kurt the color guy. As a white guy, that's kind of racist, but nevertheless, he plays color on the broadcast, does a great job at it, injects quite a bit of humor, well-timed and quite funny. It's a little dry humor, though. You got to kind of learn to get it, but when you do, the broadcast kind of comes alive. It makes a lot of fun inserts of things that you go, wow, okay, there you go. So anyway, you guys had a funny time. You had an educational time, right?
That's right. In fact, I would call Bob Murphy, the color commentator on Tom Woods' show. Tom is usually really quite serious, and Bob is, provides you know, a lot of funny stuff, funny material, although he can be very serious as well. And I agree with you. I think Kurt is funny. He's absolutely funny, and you just gotta appreciate that and realize where he's going with stuff, and it just knocks your socks off sometimes.
Now, part of the problem is sometimes we talk about issues that are so serious it's hard to be funny.
Sure.
I mean, because if you cross the line, and this is where Glenn Beck, in my opinion, misses the mark oftentimes, in his attempts to be the radio clown or whatever else, you know, you try to be too funny sometimes, and serious topics kind of backfire, and you come across insensitive or not caring or elite, that you're above it, and, you know, you don't kind of get the pain of the rank and file or whatever you want to say. That can be of concern. And so I'll give you an example. You guys learned about this guy. His name is Ross. Tell everybody about Ross. This is an example where it's really hard to laugh.
Well, that's right. Ross Olbright is his name, Sam, and he created the network, the website called Silk Road. And Silk Road had some rules on it. They said, you know, you can't do certain illegal things on the website. You can't do, you know, child pornography, for example. You can't do this, can't do that. And had quite a number of rules, but one thing they did allow was the sale of marijuana, of cannabis, and so forth. Well, apparently, and the Silk Road became known for I don't know. It was there to spite the establishment, basically, I guess, and people didn't like it. The establishment didn't like it. Anyway, Ross.
Let me give you a 30-second technical on Silk Road so people understand, because I'm quite familiar with this. I read a lot of articles on it. This is nothing new to me. I'm very familiar with Ross's story. Part of the problem, you know how Bitcoin is to money, right?
Alternative currency.
Bitcoin is an alternative money option. It is an option that defies the normal channels of doing things. It is decentralized, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the reason I bring that up is because Silk Road, they call it kind of the underworld of the internet. And they say that not because it's really so evil, but because government doesn't have control of all the transactions. It's very private and decentralized in many ways, to the point where there were a lot of things going on Silk Road that the government just didn't like. We'll talk about it on your radio.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. The U.S. Senate has voted down a largely Democratic-sponsored attempt to end drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Senator Maria Cantwell offered the amendment during the debate on the budget resolution. Many Democrats say the area is ecologically sensitive and should not sustain drilling. She said the notion that we tonight, after 60-plus years, would give up what is a biologically important area, a critical habitat for polar bears, a breeding ground for caribou and migratory birds, for what? For oil that we don't need. Lawmakers are eyeing ways to keep Americans from using their pre-tax dollars to save for retirement. Republicans say they're looking at lowering the amount of money people can put into a 401k. Currently, people can contribute up to $18,000 a year. People don't pay tax on the money until it's pulled out. The GOP wants to limit that amount to only $2,400. Any additional money that people would save would be put into a Roth-type fund. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Audio Compass is the perfect software solution for remote broadcasting. Consider Audio Compass for sporting events, talk show hosts, sound bites from the field, and more. Allow Audio Compass to transfer low delay, crystal clear audio over the internet. AudioCompass.com. Complete, accurate information has always been hard to find. For news the networks refuse to use anytime, anywhere, click to LibertyNewsDaily.com or sign up to get Liberty News delivered directly to your email. LibertyNewsDaily.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Sam, I can't hear you if you're talking, but I'll just go ahead until you interrupt me in hopes that our listening audience can hear me. We were talking before the break about Ross Ulbricht, the founder, I guess, well, maybe not the founder, but someone who ran the Silk Road, which was basically an online marketplace. And the Silk Road website really was an open marketplace, very few restrictions, permitted vendors to sell drugs and other illegal goods, as well as legal ones, including art, books, raw milk, clothing, all kinds of stuff. It did, in fact, forbade items that were considered victimizing, such as child pornography, stolen goods, and assassinations. But basically, it's a marketplace, and people who in that marketplace were allowed to buy and sell nearly everything that they wanted to buy and sell. And so Ross Ulbricht was arrested October 1st, 2013, in San Francisco, and was accused that he operated this anonymous online marketplace, the Silk Road. And he went to trial, and it was a long trial, it was a complex trial. He had 7 counts against him, and I guess 5 of the 7 counts he was found guilty on 5 of the 7 counts, although my reading of the information there suggested that the prosecution didn't prove even a single one of the counts. Count 2, for example, the distribution of controlled substances intentionally accomplished by means of the internet. Well, they never brought forward evidence suggesting that he did that. Distribution requires concrete involvement in the transfer of drugs, and of course, you know, they never proved that. And it goes on and on.
Yeah, you're right about that, Lowell. One of the things that I want to mention about this is they tried to pitch this guy as the Amazon of the underworld.
Yeah.
And the truth is completely different. Use kind of some BitTorrent technologies and some complicated things to decentralize and avoid detection of transactions. And I'm not saying that everything that he was selling or everything that was being sold is fine. What I am saying, though, is we got a problem with the way the jury went down about this. They never got the details honorably. He never got a fair and open, honest trial, jury trial of his peers. They could say that it was a trial, but because they withheld evidence, because they gave bogus instructions to the jury, it was really a manipulated jury instead of a fully informed jury. That's part of the problem. The other part of the problem is a lot of the things that he was selling were illegal maybe by statute, but not by law. In other words, the supreme law of the land gives authority, limited authority, to the federal government. A lot of these things aren't even discussed in that delegated authority given. And so we got all kinds of problems with this case. And we got a, what's the website? FreeRoss.com or .org?
Yeah, or .org, yeah. FreeRoss.org.
All right. So anyway, I want you to kind of speak to the points that I'm making a little bit about the fully informed jury versus a manipulated jury, about this idea that some of these things may be illegal by statute, but not by rule of law, really, right?
Yeah, that's right, Sam. Not everything that the legislature decides is legal is truly lawful, right? And when I talk about lawful, I'm talking about something that is you know, you and I both understand that it's not lawful for me to throw my fist at your nose and break your nose. That's not lawful. That's aggression against you. But the legislature might come along and say, well, it's not legal for you to sell raw milk. You know, I have goats here in my pasture, and so. If you want to buy some goat milk from me, Sam, see, the legislature might come along and say it's illegal to sell raw milk, and so if you come along and buy raw milk from me, and then I get thrown in jail, put in a cage simply because I sold raw milk. There's nothing unlawful about selling milk to somebody, but if a deliberative body, a legislature, passes a law and declares that to be illegal, then you know it's illegal but lawful. And it also works the other way around, Sam, right? I mean, we're
another example, just really quick, would be prayer, though. You know what? They can outlaw prayer, but you know what? It'll never be unlawful, right?
Exactly. Spot on. Then they can also make things legal which are totally unlawful, right? I mean, it's unlawful according to the laws of God, right?
Yeah, try prostitution in Vegas to make a point.
Exactly. And yet that can be deemed by some legislatures to being legal. And so that's the distinction between legal and lawful and illegal and
unlawful. Yeah, murder, for example. You know, murdering babies through abortion, they say, is legal. But I would submit it'll never be lawful to murder. Thou shalt not kill one of the top 10. We violate that, and we're in trouble.
Absolutely right. Now, a jury is usually impaneled. Well, whenever it's impaneled to determine the guilt or the innocence of the accused. And in order to make that determination, they need all the facts. They need all the evidence. And yet, in this case, in this trial, the judge did not allow most of the evidence, which the defense had pulled together, did not allow that evidence to be heard, didn't allow it to be brought forth. And so the jury made their determination based on just a mere fraction, a sliver of the whole story, because every time the defense tried to provide more evidence, provide more information on which they could make a valid decision or a just decision, the judge interposed and said, no, you can't do that, can't say that, can't bring that guy forward to provide evidence, can't allow him to testify, you know, you can't do that, can't do this, over and over again. And so it was really just a kangaroo court, you know, based on what I've read so far in the case. And like I say, Sam, I only met Ross's mom just two or three, 4 days ago. She was there on the cruise, and she held a breakout session, an hour-long session, just discussing this whole case. She's a great, great person. She could be your mom, my mom. She's a wonderful person, Ross's mom, who is out here talking to bring attention to his plight and seeking to bring justice, you know, to his predicament. And that's why I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, I don't know that he's listed on what's the website that the CSPOA is doing? The Liberty, what was it? Doggone.
TheFreedomCoalition.com, sir.
There it is, LibertyCoalition.com. And so, is he listed on there? I know
he's not
everybody.
Yeah, what we've done is we've listed a few cases that are very obvious and clear for the average person, the average congressman, senator, governor, whoever, to vet. And we've left guys like Ammon Bundy and Ross and many others off that list, not because we wouldn't deal with their case if we could impanel a presidential commission to work on this stuff.
Yeah.
But because it becomes so controversial, the second, for example, they say, well, Ross was selling marijuana, then instantly your discussion's derailed to the debate on whether you should be able to sell marijuana or not. Or if you bring up Ammon Bundy, instantly you say, well, you're allowed to take over a Malheur Wildlife Refuge. And what we don't want to do is get caught up in the details of a case. What we want is a good, honest, law-abiding group to look into this from kind of a fully informed jury standpoint to say, look, even if a law was violated, does it justify, for example, you got abortionists running around in the country free, in fact, funded by our government and Planned Parenthood and everything. And you got Hillary Clinton's running around in bed with the Russians with the Clinton on uranium. And then you got guys like Ross that are in jail for selling pot via the World Wide Web for life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the guy might as well be on death row. Right. At some point you say, okay, maybe there's some mistakes made in a given situation. Maybe if the law says you can't sell raw milk, somebody did. Even though it's lawful that you should be able to sell raw milk, but it's illegal. Okay. Or, in other words, the fully informed jury idea is that we look at these reality check situations and say, hey, what was really done wrong here? What should be the just outcome in these situations? And so we've said, look, here's some clear cases that are so easy to vet that it's like you got to be stuck on stupid not to get them. And then we've left the more complicated cases, and we'll queue them up if we ever get, you know, some presidential directive or presidential committee, whatever you want to call it, presidential whatever, to look into these cases. We've got a lot of cases that we're cataloging, but we haven't put them there because instantly the discussion will be derailed to whatever the issue is at hand, right?
Right.
And we want to avoid that while we get people on board. But no doubt, make no mistake, Ross's case would be one of the top ones on the list.
Awesome. Yeah, well, I appreciate the background on that. That helps me a ton. And I was delighted to meet Ross's mom and to become acquainted with the case. I'm glad that you're familiar with it, obviously. You know, I should have known, Sam Bushman.
Yeah, they lie and they pretend this guy's the Amazon of the underworld, and oh my gosh, he's got to be stopped. He's just, you know, and while they're saying that he was involved in this and that, there's a lot of debate about proof for some of these things. Part of the reason that they can't get the proof is because the technology was so good, lol, and that's what they really can't stand.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, all right, hang tight. We want to get back and talk about war. Supposedly, Congress wants to back away from war. Do you think Donald will let them? Do you think they're genuine? We'll talk about it all in seconds. FreeRoss.org, just like it sounds. FreeRoss.org to learn more about that case. And we'll talk more in seconds with Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, on your radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at kosher-tified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Kosher-tified app will be your start. Download it now at kosher-tified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we cover topics we don't have the full time to vet, but that's why we give you links and places you can go to learn more and do some due diligence on your own. You might call it homework on the broadcast, if you will. But anyway, a lot of good stuff coming out. If you want to go on the cruise next time that Tom Woods and others put together, then you want to look for the Contra Cruise. Lowell said it was incredible. Great stuff. A lot of funny stuff. A lot of hard-hitting, important stuff. Ross Albright was arrested back in 13, so it's already been, what, 4 years?
Yeah.
FreeRoss.org to learn more about that. FreeRoss.org. He had a fake jury trial, folks. That's the problem there. All right. U.S. House members want to end the war in Yemen. Now, this is three different House members that are involved here, and it's good news. I don't know how genuine they are, and I don't know how bold they'll become, and I don't know what pay dirt they'll get with so many generals and hawkish folks surrounding the Donald, but it's a prayer, it's a start, and good, honest folks who are at that cruise have been talking about this for years. We consider them good friends, Lowell.
That's right, Sam. Scott Horton is the anti-war guy. He has a great podcast, antiwar.com, and he also runs the Libertarian Institute, where all of his shows are archived. Sam, this is pretty incredible. He has archived over 4,500 interviews. That's 4,500 interviews since 2003, so that's like, what, 14 years or so, where he's been interviewing guests, people like whistleblowers, people who have been involved in the war, who maybe have gone to war in the Middle East and come back, and they're eyewitnesses to the falsity of the lies that we're being told, the reasons we're
yeah told. They went with a naive naive understanding of what our attempts were there. They left thinking they were patriots for their country. They came back going, I've had my eyes opened. I realized the horrors of war and the misguided efforts that we're betrayed on in terms of what we're told versus reality, right?
Right. He's also interviewed journalists who have spent significant time in the Middle East. You know, one of the reasons I like the Jason Stapleton program is because Jason spent time years, several years as a he's sort of like a SEAL and a Ranger all tied up in one. I mean, he's a special ops guy that spent years over there in the Middle East, and so his eyes are now fully open, and that's one of the reasons I like his program. But be that as it may, Scott Horton has been doing this for well over a decade, interviewing people who have the real truth on our war on the Middle East. But make no mistake, the America is waging war on the Middle East. For the assets that are there, and we're making enemies by doing so. But Scott Horton has been one of the key figures who has studied this in depth, so in depth that it's incredible. He's a walking encyclopedia of the cultures, of the nations, of the Middle East, the various wars they've been involved in, why those wars have been waged, and who's supporting who, and it's incredible. And so for a number of years now, he's been in the war against Yemen. Saudi Arabia has been bombing Yemen for a couple of years now, and they're supported by the U.S. The U.S. is actually, they choose the targets. There's even pretty reliable scuttle, but saying that the U.S. pilots are in the back seat of these Saudi planes that fly over and bomb Yemen. And Yemen has millions of people there, and they're suffering from cholera. I mean, that's a simple disease that can be taken care of. But when you don't have the proper hygiene, the proper sanitation, the proper infrastructure, when that's been bombed out of existence, then you suffer from cholera and diarrhea. I mean, people are dying right now every day over there because of this insane bombing that's going on that's fully supported by the United States. So three members of the U.S.
House not only fully supported, but they train, they fund, and they arm, in my personal opinion, the warmongering.
Exactly. And so they wrote in the New York Times just last Tuesday, it's almost a week ago, about why they introduced this House Concurrent Resolution 81 that would use the authority of Congress under the War Powers Resolution to end U.S. participation in the war in Yemen. And that would be a wonderful thing to do. If we ended our support of Saudi Arabia in that war, Saudi Arabia would not, they could not do it by themselves. The only reason they do it and can do it is because of our help, our support. We refuel their fighters in the air. U.S. Fuel tankers refueling their fighters in the air on the way to bomb the poorest country, the weakest country in the Middle East. And it's just, and it's sad that so many thousands of people are dying every day over there. And so here's what they write. They say, imagine that the entire population of Washington State, 7.3 million people, imagine they were on the brink of starvation with the port city of Seattle under a naval and aerial blockade, leaving it unable to receive and distribute countless tons of food and aid that sit waiting offshore. This nightmare scenario is akin to the obscene reality occurring in the Middle East's poorest country, Yemen, at the hands of the region's richest country, Saudi Arabia, with unyielding United States military support that Congress has not authorized and that therefore violates the Constitution. For nearly 3 years, the United States has been participating alongside a military coalition led by Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates in a brutal military campaign in Yemen. The United States is selling the Saudi monarchy missiles and warplanes, assisting in the coalition's targeting selection for aerial bombings, and actively providing mid-air refueling for Saudi and UAE jets that conduct these indiscriminate airstrikes, the leading cause of civilian casualties. Meanwhile, the Saudi coalition is starving millions of Yemenis as a grotesque tactic of war. And just this third paragraph here, this is horrifying, they say. We have therefore, and I agree totally, it is mortifying. We have therefore introduced a bipartisan congressional resolution to withdraw American armed forces from these unauthorized hostilities in order to help put an end to the suffering of a country approaching a famine of biblical proportion, in the words of Jan Egeland, the head of the Norwegian Refugee Council. After all, as Foreign Policy has reported, the Saudi coalition's daily bombing campaign would not be possible without the constant presence of U.S. Air Force tanker planes refueling coalition jets. End of quote.
Now, the interesting thing to me on this is we just did a big story a couple of weeks ago about how Donald and Congress literally funded a huge defense system. It's like a massive missile defense system for the Saudis. And I kind of mentioned that, you know, I at first glance you say, well, good. Why wouldn't we want to help them defend themselves? The problem is, how much of that funding starts out as defense in nature or is under the cover of defense, but then turns into be offensive like the operations you speak of? And that's the real problem, Lowell.
It is. The defense contractors are selling weapons and planes to both sides of the conflict, Sam. You know, and that's part of the problem that that we get into with Hillary's. I mean, with the weapons that she gave to what she called the moderate rebels, that turns out to be used against the, you know, the good guys over there, and so we end up fighting, you know, our own weaponry. It's just so stupid. It's so, and you know, Scott Horton wrote a book that I hope to get into. I brought a copy home with me called Fool's Errand: The Time to End the War in Afghanistan. You know, Sam, we have been in Afghanistan, what, 17 years, the longest war in American history, and we still, there's no prospect.
And let's make it very clear, we have no plans of leaving anytime soon either.
Zero. I mean, right. I mean, they may talk about that, but they really don't have any plans to leave. And Scott Horton is one of the ones who's been a leading voice on this, trying to help us understand that we ought to come home. We just ought to quit over there. You know, the Russians in the 1980s, that was their Vietnam, right? The quagmire that broke the Soviet Union, so to speak, was Afghanistan. Well, Osama wanted to lead the U.S. into another Vietnam, and now we're in Afghanistan with no hope of leaving. We simply, you know, it's no politician wants to leave because they don't want to be called, you know, a coward, right? Getting out, they want a victory. Well, there's
Well, and most congressmen and senators, too, when the president takes these initiatives and violates the separations of powers and puts us into these wars, usually it's under the guise of some emergency that turns out not to be the case in the first place. But the problem is then, once funded, once the operations are cranked up and running, a congressman does not want to go against it because he doesn't want to be considered somebody not patriotic or somebody that would undermine the troops or something like that. And they by violating the checks and balances in the first place, we get these situations where there's no great way to win.
And so you and I can help by always asking our congressman, when are we leaving Afghanistan? When are you going to bring the troops home, congressman? Right? I mean, that's
when are we leaving the 130 plus nations we're involved in militarily speaking right now?
Right. And we need to start at the one where people are being hurt the most, whether it's Yemen or whether it's Afghanistan or Somalia or whatever. But let's always be asking our congressman, when are we coming home? What are you doing to get us out of the war, to stop this indiscriminate killing of innocents in the Middle East? When are we leaving the Middle East? When is the U.S. going to just walk, march home? In the words of Ron Paul, we just marched in, we can just march home. And this type of pressure, I think, is essential, ladies and gentlemen. If we don't ask our congressmen these questions, if we don't put them on the spot, then who is? And there would be no impetus, no reason for them to leave unless we put the pressure on them to leave. And so that's why I view this quite as encouraging, Sam, where these three representatives, I give you their names here. It's Ro Khanna, Democrat from California, Mark Pocan, Democrat from Wisconsin, Walter Jones, Republican from North Carolina, and I also happen to know Thomas Massie, Republican from Kentucky, is fully on board with that because I think that his was the template, his piece of legislation was the template for which these guys wrote theirs. And so there are a number of good...
This is not a partisan issue, ladies and gentlemen. This is a peace versus war issue. Scott Horton, Lowell Nelson, absolutely spot on. We are on to fool's errand, ladies and gentlemen, and we got to stop it. Ask your congressmen, ask your senators daily, when are we leaving these countries? When are we going to get rid of the hawkish military stance? When are we going to quit funding all sides of these wars? When are we going to quit arming, training, and funding pro-war? And when are we going to follow the Prince of Peace, huh? Thanks, Lowell.
You're welcome, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
Incredible hour. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, doing a great job. Next hour, James Edwards, the political cesspool, coming up. We were supposed to interview him last week. We didn't, for reasons you'll learn in seconds. Hour one of the can. Hour two coming up. We need your support in every way, including financial. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com, LibertyNewsDaily.com. We declare this nation shall endure.